Amen.
Amen.
Good songs, good singers.
Amen.
I failed to do this in class, so I'll do it now. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And without you guys, we wouldn't be here. I've preached a lot of sermons on Mother's Day, and I've gotten away from the traditional Mother's Day sermon, primarily because I think everybody knows about Ruth and Esther, about all they can handle. So, happy Mother's Day. This is not a traditional Mother's Day sermon. I've titled this sermon, I'll Do It Tomorrow. Yeah, I see a lot of smiles. We like that, don't we? I was going to call Eddie this morning and say, I'm not coming, I'll do it tomorrow. see what his reaction would have been to that.
Thank you for not doing that.
Now the garage needs cleaning. Now I'll do it tomorrow. The lawn needs mowed. I'll do it tomorrow. Laundry needs done. I'll do it tomorrow. The dishes need to be done. They're stacked up on the counter. I'll do it tomorrow. Mom tells the kids you need to clean your bedroom. Yeah, well, I'll do it tomorrow, Mom. Car needs washed. Mine needs washed. Yesterday I thought I'll do it tomorrow, and then I heard it was supposed to rain, so I'll do it tomorrow. Work done for the boss. You're sitting at work, and boss brings in a load of files or papers and says, I need this done today. And you look at it and say, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Or one of the spouses tells the other one, I need this done. And the other one says, I'll do it tomorrow. Or mom or dad tells one of the kids, we need to get this done. Kid looks up and says, I'll do it tomorrow. What if that boss happens to be God? He's laid down everything we're supposed to do. We just close it up and say, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, God. That'll be fine. We'll say, I'm sorry to you, but I'll do it tomorrow. Or I forgive you. I'll do that tomorrow. Praise. You're doing a good job. Thank you. We appreciate you. I'll do that tomorrow. There's a story that I like. I read it years and years ago. It goes like this. An owner of a small diner wanted to increase his business. He placed a large sign in the window announcing free lunch tomorrow. So everybody walking by made note of it. And they returned the next day. Guess what was in the window? Free lunch tomorrow. It never came. One of the problems with tomorrow is that it does not come. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Thomas Jefferson said that. Mark Twain came in a little further. He said, never put off till tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow. Procrastination tends to bring nothing but sorrow. We get sad over things because we just didn't take care of business. I know that I should stop it, though. In fact, I will. Tomorrow. Procrastination is the art of putting off what you don't want to do today till tomorrow. If we want to do something, we'll find the time. We won't put it off till tomorrow. It's things that we don't really care about doing, things we don't want to deal with, we put them off till tomorrow. And a lot of times that never gets done. James 4, 13 and following reads this way. James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, we'll buy stuff, we'll sell stuff, we'll make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it, procrastination, is sin. That's why it makes us sorrowful. We don't like not doing what we need to do, and especially when it comes to God's word. We go back up here. James says in verse 15, instead of boasting and doing these things, and I'm going to go to the city, and I'm going to sell this, and I'm going to do this. He says, instead of doing that, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. God knows better than we know. There's an old saying, if you want God to laugh, tell him what your plans are for tomorrow. Because it might not fit what he's got going on. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Not just assume that it's going to happen. So there's a problem with tomorrow. What about a conversation with a lost person? You share the gospel message with them. Okay, we've all done that, right? They acknowledge. Yeah, that's truthful. I acknowledge that passage. That message is true. And yet some people will still say, nah, not now. Maybe later. One of these days I'll do that. One of these days I'll get right with God. But not right now. Somewhere along the way, we've all been in a teaching situation with someone, and we've heard that. I agree. I know, but I'm not doing it right now. But you know what? It's not just the non-believer that practices procrastination. It's those that are erring Christians that also do. They say, I need to come back to God. We've heard that, right? I'm miserable. I got nothing but trouble in my life. I'm sorrowful. I'm sick of it. I need to get right with God. And you say, great. Let's pray about it. Right now. And they say, oh, no, not today. I'll do it tomorrow. What about the conversation with the average Christian? When are you going to totally give yourself to the Lord? I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves that question, not just someone else. Oh, I know I need to be more faithful, right? I'll start tomorrow. I'm going to start giving more. I'm going to start coming to Sunday services, both morning and evening. I'm coming to Bible study. I'm going to get more involved in the ministries. Great. How about right now? Oh, no. Not right now. But one of these days I will. I'll start tomorrow. The tomorrow mentality. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Some of these passages are going to be pretty familiar to you. If they're not, then I'm glad we're reaching out and looking at them. Luke 9, 57 through 62. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. How many times have we said that? I'll do anything. I'll follow you everywhere. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Okay, you're going to follow me, you're homeless. You're not going to have any place to lay your head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, not right now. Let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Let that they take care of that. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. So basically, whoever he's talking to here said, no. I got to go take care of this. I'll do it tomorrow. And then another said, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. I'll be with you tomorrow. Okay? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So what do we see here? First of all, if you want to follow me in this passage, you're going to be homeless. Second of all, if you want to follow me, it's going to take a commitment. And thirdly, if you want to follow me, quit making excuses and just do it. One guy had to go bury his father. I'll see you tomorrow, Jesus. Another guy said, I got to go tell everybody goodbye. See you tomorrow, Jesus. Thought always entered my mind when I read this passage. What if we get to the gates of heaven and we get to judgment day and God says, I'll talk to you tomorrow. How are we going to feel? What's going to happen? You're going to sit there and wonder all day long. What's going to happen tomorrow? And then tomorrow comes, and God says, I'll deal with you tomorrow. Quit making excuses and do it. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. I want to deal with why no procrastination. 27 verse 1 in Proverbs says, do not boast about tomorrow. We just saw that in James too, didn't we? Why are you, we're going to go to this city and we're going to sell this, we're going to do this, we're going to make all kinds of money, but we're going to do this tomorrow. So James said, don't do that. And right here in Proverbs says, don't boast about tomorrow. We saw in class where James and Proverbs have a lot of parallels. For you do not know what a day may bring forth. Now, bear in mind, I'm not saying that we should not make plans for tomorrow. Okay? We should always have a plan of what we're going to do. But don't forget about today. Contrary to what we believe, and that's human nature, we have no promise of tomorrow. We have no promise of this afternoon. Our lives, as we saw in James, are like a vapor. Here one moment and gone the next. And we think 75 or 80 years, oh man, that's a long time. What about eternity? How long is that? How long has it been since God created this earth? Depending on studies you do, somewhere between 6 and 10,000 years ago. Not millions like you hear on TV. Scripturally, 6 to 10,000 years. Well, that's a long time. How about eternity? It's hard to wrap our heads around eternity. It's hard to wrap our heads around the word forever. Because we have in our mind a set time and a set end. That's just human nature. But when we're talking about being a vapor, we're here one moment, gone the next. That's what it means. We're just here for a very, very short period of time. Better make the most of it. The decisions we make today will determine where we're going to spend eternity. Okay? I say that because there's two choices to make. We talked about it in class a little bit. You can live with Satan, for eternity, or you can live with God for eternity. We have the ability, and God gave us that ability, to make that choice. Well, I'll decide tomorrow what I'm going to do. Doesn't work that way. Let's go to Acts 17. I'm going to talk about a couple of examples here of what happens to people with their thinking. Acts 17, 22 through 34. For those of you that are not familiar with this particular passage, is Paul, as he spoke in Athens on Mars Hill. 17, 22 through 34. And Paul stood in the midst of the Acropagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." All right? I think that. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription." So Paul's telling him, I know what's going on. "To the unknown God." That was the inscription. "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." That's who I'm talking about. "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone." Where did we hear that this morning? We talked about those things in class. "Something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times are ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Verse 31, "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained." He doesn't tell us when, does he? So all these prognostications here, well, the earth's going to end such and such time, such and such day. No, it's not going to happen that way. Right here, Paul says he'll judge in the word in righteousness by the man who is ordained. He has given assurance to this to all by raising him from the dead. Now, here's what I want to look at. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, what happened? Some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." Now, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Paul. So then Paul departed from among them. What's he going to do, right? You can only teach so much to so many people. Now verse 34 says, "However, some men joined and believed." We tend to see this some a lot of times throughout Scripture. Some believed. To get into heaven is like a camel going through a needle. Many are going to be called. Few are going to be chosen. 8 people out of everybody on earth got on the ark. The rest were destroyed. And yet in the world today, everybody's going to heaven, right? We're all going to be on that ship when it sails. Well, not according to what God has to say. That's man's wisdom. And we talked in class, that's contrary to conventional wisdom. It's not going to happen that way. So few believed, some mocked, others said, "We'll hear you again tomorrow on this matter." Years later, go to Acts 24 and verse 25. Acts 24, 25. This is talking about Felix. Okay, back up to verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. Okay? Felix sent for Paul. Verse 25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, what happened? Felix was afraid, and he answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Nah, Paul, we're not doing this right now. We'll do it tomorrow. So we see the people in Athens on Mars Hill. A few of them believed. Some mocked. Most of the others said, we'll see you when it's convenient. See you tomorrow. Felix just says, nah, we're not doing this, Paul. We'll do it tomorrow. And yet Felix sent for him. I had a hard time making sense of what Felix was thinking. He wanted to know the truth, and yet he didn't want to know the truth. And there certainly was no response when he says, no, nah, nah, Paul, we'll do this tomorrow. Years ago, I had it happen in one of my sermons. After service was over, a friend of mine, younger friend, came up to me and said, you almost had me this morning. To this day, probably 20 years, they're still not a baptized Christian. I messaged that. Most of you know, and you've heard me talk about Balan, one of the missionaries in India that I work with personally. I messaged that to him and copy and pasted my sermon to him so he could listen to it. And he came back and he told me of an instance that a person was going to be baptized, and they wanted to do it tomorrow, and they got in a car accident and died before it could be done. That's how important today is. Acts 26 and 28. King Agrippa. Verse 28, then King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Yeah, you got me close, buddy. But it ain't happening. The problem with this is, in these passages we just looked at, many continue to think like this. Yeah, I believe it. All's good. But I'll do this baptism thing. I'm doing it tomorrow. They say one of these days. But not today. Not yet. And you stop and think about it. How presumptuous of us to think that we will have more opportunities to accept Jesus. We've seen passage after passage this morning. Tomorrow is not promised. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Where's the talk about tomorrow? It doesn't. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, the writer of Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. They heard, they confessed it, they taught it. And how do we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How do we put this off till tomorrow? Now, as I started this, I wanted you to think about this, about in your own life also. In your family, in your own life, and in Christian life. This procrastination will eat on us. It will get us if we let it. So Hebrews 3:15 reads this way. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. You almost had me. Is that not hardening your heart to the message? You didn't fully accept it. You might have believed part of it. If you believed it all, you would have accepted it and done something about it. How do we escape that? In Hebrews 3:15, says, well, it said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We don't live in the past. What happened yesterday, there's nothing we can do about it. Tomorrow, we've seen, may not even be here. It may not come. So if we can't do anything about tomorrow, or yesterday, and we don't know if tomorrow is going to be here, what does that leave? That leaves us today. When will we trust him? Today. When will we serve him? Today. What will we do with today? I'll end this with Matthew 6 and verse 34. Matthew 6, verse 34. Jesus says, okay, this isn't Paul, it's not James, it's Jesus. And he says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. That's pretty heavy. Don't we all tend to worry about tomorrow? And I sat in a psychologist class in college one time. And they said 95% of our worry goes for naught because it doesn't come to fruition. And yet we stir ourselves up over worry and stress, leads us to have health issues, can lead to heart attacks and death. Stress caused me a heart attack. Lucky it didn't kill me. I know what it does. So stop the worry. If our faith is as strong as we think it is or should be, we won't worry. Give it to God and move on. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Lord, just help me get through this day. We'll worry about tomorrow when it comes. If it comes. We saw, Lord willing, let me do this tomorrow. Procrastination. The art of putting off till tomorrow what I don't want to do today. Leave it in your life, it'll eat you up. Earthly wisdom will overtake godly wisdom if you let it. I know this is geared towards baptism and it's geared towards salvation. But just for a second, think about your own salvation and the procrastination that we do in our own lives about taking care of business with God. Don't do it tomorrow, do it today. Family life, work, whatever you're at, whatever place you are, take care of today. With that, the invitation is there. If there is anyone here that needs to put their Lord on in baptism, the invitation is there for you. Also, if you have issues in your life or you need some prayers for strength and comfort and those kinds of things, We're here for you. Today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. With that, Eddie's going to lead us in a song of invitation.